Hey everyone, welcome to church. It's a little different this week, but we are so glad that you decided to join us. I don't know how you describe your week. Maybe it is a little bit of a testing of your faith. I know as I was looking at the book of James this week, and it began with these words, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, for the testing of your faith produces perseverance." And I want to start our time together with this truth. You and I, we get to choose the thoughts that we think, and our thoughts can lead us to walk in joy when we recognize that moments like this that test our faith, that increase our perseverance, when days feel disappointing or frustrating or scary, that Jesus promises us that we can walk in joy. So I want our day to start with just a reminder from our team. We love you so much, and we agree with you. It is so hard to not be together. There's so much joy for me every week as I get to greet you and hug you and hear about your week. And we're not going to have that for a few weeks in person. And maybe you're a little sad today. I know that I'm a little sad that I can't meet with you in person, but I want to remind you that we get to choose the thoughts that lead to joy. We're still together. It's important to remember that God is still on the throne and he's with us right now. And I'm so thankful that we have technology that allows us to be together in this way. We might be together virtually, it might look different, but I know this is true. Where two or more of us are gathered together, God's here in our midst. So I want you to know that we're with you. You're our church family. We're here. And I've loved watching our church family on social media this week. You are sharing songs and it brings me peace. We've been sharing scripture with each other. And one of my favorite things is I've been seeing my friends offering to share everything from their eggs to their toilet paper. All kinds of people are saying, hey, if you need a peanut butter sandwich, I'm right here if you need one. I saw a family this week and they're raising money to bless an organization that feeds kids who won't be getting their lunch this week because school's closed. And I have friends who are serving in the grocery store industry this week. And let me tell you, that is where you are being the hands and feet of Christ, because many of our grocery store working friends, they're working 11-hour days just to keep food available for all of us. And like me, you probably have friends and family that are nurses and doctors, and they're preparing for a hard season. I'm just so thankful for all of you who are working longer hours, often without a break, those teachers who are getting crash courses in 2 days on a new creative way to teach children. I'm thankful for all these cleaning teams who are making spaces safe and all of the essential workers who are so tired but keep showing up. And like you, many families now have two jobs at the same time, right? We have remote work to do and children at home who need love and attention and some help to get the schoolwork done. There's just so many reasons why we need the hope of Jesus. But the good news is that Jesus is here with us, with you, with all the people we love, and with all the people that you and I have the opportunity to share hope with this week. Maybe you're going to be sharing hope in a grocery store line or in your living room. Remember that God is with us right now as we're meeting as one church in so many locations around the world. Harbor, we want to know, what is it that you need? How can we pray for you? Know that together, we're going to be meeting the needs in the community around us. And I know that when we do, we're going to find moments of joy. We will grow stronger and become people who live with grit and perseverance. So today is a reminder. We get to serve. And because of that, our family, our brothers and sisters, they're going to serve us as well. You know, a week ago, it felt impossible to be at the church if we're all off in our own spaces and places. But today will show us that's not impossible. All across the internet, the church, the one big family of God, is sharing the love of Jesus. Never before have we had the opportunity to hear the word of God, to worship with every tribe, every tongue, every nation. And I know there's going to be joy that comes out of this trial. I saw it this week when I was able to connect two friends just through Facebook. A few of them worship in Nashua and other families from Harbor, but they were all passionate about being the hands and feet of Jesus, feeding children in Nashua. And I know that that joy of connecting them, that's going to continue to multiply, one person helping one person at a time. And today, on this National Day of Prayer, our church, the church that exists around the world, we're going to be praying. And Harbor, we invite you to share your prayers with us and to find people to pray with. And we're going to be making so many things happen here this next season as a community. What it looks like, I don't know yet. We're going to throw all our energy into being the most creative church we can be, in a way to find new ways to boldly serve one another in the middle of this unprecedented storm. So Harbor, we want you to partner with us. Show up in these places and spaces that we create online. Invite your friends. And know this. You're made on for a reason, for a purpose. Your purpose is needed right now. All of us, we're needed. So let's join forces. Let's build up the body when we all need it the most. Amy's going to share a little bit with us about what it looks like to be the body of Christ.
Morning, everybody. It's good to see you, kind of. I don't know about you, but I have basically never been so aware of my physical body. The way it functions, the things it needs on a daily basis, the way it's vulnerable, the many ways it can fail me. I think it's hard to miss in a moment like this, because collectively, as a whole human race, we are literally face to face with our physical vulnerability right now in a way that I certainly have never seen before in my lifetime. And I myself feel like my own weakness is so tangible, so in my face right now that I'm kind of disoriented. You know, simple things like scratching my nose or taking a deep breath, things I was once basically completely unaware of, are now these big, loud things in our day. These sirens go off all day long as we just go about our business as usual. It's jarring, it's strange, and it's intrusive. But perhaps more than anything else, it's humbling. You know, this isn't something we can control. It isn't something we can ignore or escape either. It's scary. But it's also something that's much bigger than us. We can't help but feel small right now. I feel small. I feel vulnerable. I feel like I'm along for the ride a little bit, but no one's allowed to ride with me. You know, it's lonely. And I just can't help but wonder, though, if there's an opportunity in this feeling of smallness. Not a kind of opportunity that slaps a silver lining on something. That's just plain hard. But an opportunity to learn something about the truth of who we are, the truth of who we were created to be, an opportunity to literally and also metaphorically come home, you know, take a bit of a pause and hit refresh on our understanding of our place and our purpose in this whole experiment of creation. It's an opportunity to zoom way out and see the big picture for the first time in a long time, and an opportunity to sort of detach ourselves from ourselves and reconnect with our body. The Apostle Paul talks a lot about the body of Christ in his letters, not the physical body of Jesus that he had during his life on earth, but the church, us. Paul uses this body as a metaphor for us, the people who gather together and draw down the power of the Holy Spirit so we can worship and work for God perpetually. So we can be his hands and feet, continuing the life of Jesus forever and ever and ever. And the healthier we are, the longer Christ lives and the bigger his impact is on the world, that's up to us. We get to play a part in this. And it's a really big part, and it requires us, though, to feel very extraordinarily and painfully small. In John chapter 13, we meet Jesus himself on the very evening of the Last Supper, his final meal with his closest circle of friends, the leaders he'd spent the last few years developing into people who would launch this brand new way of living into the eternal story of the world, of humanity. And right there in the upper room, Jesus demonstrated a dramatic and frankly kind of bizarre act of humility and love, one that could really only ever be outdone by his ultimate act of humility and love, which happened on the cross. And both of these acts require Jesus to do something wildly impactful, all while making the choice to become incredibly small. That night, Jesus looked around at his friends and he noticed that there were no servants around to wash their feet. And remember, this was an important thing in the first century. It's maybe not a big deal when you sit down for dinner and your family now, but at that time, people reclined at this low table and their feet were in plain sight, and they walk around all day long in these sandals. Their feet are dirty and grimy. So washing people's feet was actually a really important part of sitting down to break bread and share a meal together. It's very unlike the famous painting that we all know and love, where everyone's on one side of a traditional looking table. Anyway, Jesus looked around that evening, noticed there were no servants to wash his feet and the feet of his other friends. And what did he do? He rose from the table. He picked up a basin of water and a cloth. He took a knee and he began to wash the feet of his friends. Join me in chapter 13. In verse 2, we read, it was time for supper. And the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. So one of these guys was already prepared to betray Jesus and send him to his death. And Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, that he'd come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, he took off his robe, he wrapped a towel around his waist, and he poured water into a basin. And then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, why are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will." "No," Peter protested, "you will never, ever wash my feet." But Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." It's a pretty incredible passage, but there are a few things in it that I think are particularly helpful reminders today, always, but especially in moments like this, when we're just struggling to make sense of a completely bizarre situation. The first is that Jesus, first and foremost, knew who he was. Before he even moved a muscle, this scripture tells us that Jesus knew he had come from God and would return to God. He knew he belonged to God, the creator of the whole universe, the Almighty. That was Jesus's starting posture, a full awareness of just who he was and whose he was. And anything that happened from there was because of that, because of the power of God himself. This scripture is so clear here that Jesus's only motive came from this very connection he had to God himself. Jesus knew who he was. Jesus also chose to become small. He literally took a knee for his neighbors. This is something Jesus does over and over again in his ministry. But in this instance, when he was faced with a lack of something, he stepped in and he served the people around him without batting an eye, humbling himself. He was doing the work of the lowliest of servants. The disciples must have been stunned at this act of humility and condescension. You know, that Christ, their Lord and Master, would bend down and wash the feet of his disciples was backwards. It was actually their work to have washed his. But when Jesus came to earth, he came not as king and conqueror. He came as suffering servant. We read in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, that he came, Jesus came to earth not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. The humility expressed by this act with a towel and basin foreshadowed his ultimate act of humility and love on the cross, which happens a few days later, which we are right now as a church preparing for during Lent, waiting to celebrate Easter in a few weeks. The last thing that's important to remember about this passage is that being served made the disciples belong. Jesus's attitude of servanthood was in direct contrast to that of the disciples, who that very same night we read in the book of Luke were finding the time to argue amongst themselves which one of them was the greatest. We read that, seriously, in the book of Luke, the disciples are arguing over which one of them is the best disciple. So when Jesus stooped to do this lowly task of washing their feet, when they're all rather clearly in a mindset of one-upping one another and determining who's best, they were stunned into silence. Except Peter. To his credit, Peter was profoundly uncomfortable with the Lord washing his feet. And never being at a loss for words, Peter protested. He said, "You shall never wash my feet." But then Jesus said something that must have really shocked him. He said, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." unless I wash you, you do not belong with me. And this is the climax moment, in my opinion. Jesus telling Peter that unless Peter allowed Jesus to humble himself, kneel down and serve him in this way, that Peter had no part in him. That being served by Jesus and accepting that service, that sacrifice, is what makes us a body in the first place. We are the body of Christ. We make up the hands and the feet and the liver and the pancreas of Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, Son of God. And the tissue that holds us together, the delicate fiber that binds us together in this thing that works, is our ability to accept that God is God and that Jesus came not to help us win, but to wash our feet. Later on in verse 12, we read that after washing their feet, he put on his robe again and he sat down and he asked the disciples, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I've given you an example to follow, so do as I've done for you." We live by example that Jesus has set for us. So as we read these words today, there are three things to be reminded of. And the first, guys, know who you are. You're a loved child of God. You have the power of the whole Holy Spirit in you. Seriously, all of it, not just a little baby fraction of it. You don't earn more of it over your life. It's all there. And that can make you brave, brave enough to humble yourself before others to care for them. Brave enough to know that you, yes, you, can make a difference even if you're stuck in your own home. Brave enough to believe that you can be generous even where there are restrictions put on your life. Brave enough to explore new ways to connect to people and care for people because you've come from God and you'll return to God. This fueled Jesus. Let it fuel you. Next, remember to take a knee. Choose to become small right now for the sake of the bigger picture. Consider it an honor. Jesus Christ was not above this. He chose to become small in the most critical of moments. Now is a good time to follow his lead. We become small when we allow ourselves to realize that while we're not in control, we do play a vital role, each and every one of us. That will play a vital role in the design of this life, of every life. We are small, but critical, humble, yet important. And lastly, we get to belong to one another. So be the body of Christ. People. Maybe you're not actually from Harbor. Maybe you're managing to see this somehow and you're not someone who's ever come to our church. Welcome. Welcome aboard. You're a part of this body of Christ too. Our body has what it needs to survive this time, to come out on the other side, but only if we work together and serve one another, just as Christ served and serves us. And when it comes time that we need to be served by someone else, don't be too proud to accept it from others. It's how we belong. Know who you are, take a knee, and belong to one another by the ways that you serve and the ways that you are served. Stay home if you can. If you're on the front lines, let us pray for you. Pray like your life depends on it. Check on your parents and neighbors and friends with pre-existing conditions. But get dressed every day and connect with your friends online. Yeah, do all of these things, follow all of the advice, but most importantly, above all, remember that we have a part in Jesus because we've let him serve us. He's conquered evil on our behalf so that we don't need to be stuck eternally in this brokenness. In him, there is peace, there's health, there's joy and fresh air and the pleasure of other people's company. Wash your hands, then let your feet be washed. We will get through this together. We love you a lot.
Amen. So that Last Supper that Amy was just talking about is also the first time that we see communion, where we see Jesus sitting around a table with, again, his closest friends, these people that he's been doing ministry with and traveling with and going through good times and bad times with. And they're sitting together in a home, and Jesus holds up bread and a cup and says, "Remember me." He's foreshadowing what we celebrate on Easter, his death and his resurrection. And of course, the disciples are confused. They're like, "Lord, what are you talking about? Remember me. You're with us here. Like, what are you talking about?" But they find out shortly that he's going to be gone, but then he'll be back. So I just wanted to take a moment to acknowledge the fact that, yes, it's going to be a little bit different for the next few weeks. We're not going to be in the room together taking communion elbow to elbow. But wherever you are, my encouragement to you is still take communion. Take communion with your family. Take communion with your roommates. Take communion by yourself if you're just sitting in a living room alone right now. I've done it. I wanted to just take a moment to read this scripture where communion comes from and empower you to take a Bible or to go on BibleGateway.com and to read Luke chapter 22, starting in verse 14. That's where I'm going to read right now, but you can do this yourself. You can go and you can read this and just remember Jesus. Just remember his life and his death and his resurrection and celebrate him. Let it be a holy moment at your kitchen table. So let's read this starting in verse 14. When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. Jesus said, "I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. Then he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. For I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come." He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, "This cup is my new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you." So my encouragement to you, friends, wherever you are, is just take the scripture and read it. Ponder it. Think about it. Allow it to just make you think about what was happening at that time. And also remember that this first time of communion happened in a home. So of course, we're used to doing this in a church, but it doesn't have to be done in a church. Another part of our service that is going to look a little bit different is worship. And of course, worship is a lot more than just music. Worship is not just someone singing or playing guitar or a worship band up on a stage. That is not the only thing that worship is. Worship is when you're being very present with your kids and you're playing with them, when you're all home alone and you have to be inside, or they're out of school for a little bit longer than usual. Worship can be just saying a simple prayer of thanksgiving when you wake up. Worship can be singing and just putting worship music on and doing your chores or doing whatever you like to do, going on a walk, and just being in awe of the creation around you. There are so many ways that we can worship, and often worship happens when we take time to slow down. So we have an opportunity here in this time where we're apart, where we're going to have a lot of time to be a little bit slower. We might have a little bit more time to be in our kitchen just playing worship music while the kids are working on, you know, arts and crafts, or while you're working remotely from home and you can just put worship music on while you're typing away. So my encouragement to you is to just remember that you're not losing anything by not being in a room and worshiping. You can worship wherever you are. So I want to take a moment right now and do something that might be a little bit different, but that's okay. I just want us to take a moment and, wherever you are, just sing the doxology. So I'm going to grab my guitar. Just keep it real simple. We're going to sing it twice. I'll sing it once. If you want to just kind of settle into this moment, take a deep breath. I think we've all had a busy week. A lot has changed. A lot looks different, but it's going to be okay. So this is just a simple song that I think a lot of us know. And if you don't know it, listen along and just be blessed. Just let these words pour over you. And just be present in this moment. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Sing that one more time. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Thanks, Allie. We are here in this new, strange way, and we will continue to be here. And we are here for you, Harbor, and we're hoping that we're here for you so that you can be here for others. And it's going to be weird pulling this off, but in order to do this, it means that we all have to make a choice to be generous. And we get to be generous. We get to be part of this time in history where the entire world is wondering what can make a difference and who can make a difference. But Harbor, we know who can make a difference, and it's Jesus. And the best part of that is that we, in this time, get to be the hands and feet of Jesus, being generous to this world, serving each other. And everything that you give right now is going to be multiplied by God. So if you can give financially, please do so. You can give online at harborofhope.org/give, or you can donate over through our app. And if you don't have the app, you can text Harbor of Hope, all one word, to 77977. And what you give is going to be spent pouring into the lives of the people in our community. And we want to use your generosity so we can be generous in meeting the needs of the people that we serve. But a lot of us are not in a place where we can give financially. And if you can't, we understand. But there are so many ways to be generous in this season. So if suddenly you have a lot of time on your hands, give it away like it's going out of style. Call up your friends, give them a text, shoot them a message. To those in your life who are vulnerable, who might be isolated, who might be anxious or fearful, see how they are. Let them know that they are not alone and you are here with them. And there's a lot of people who are working on the front lines of this in the healthcare system and other places who have kids who are out of school and they don't know what to do, how to balance both work that they need to be at and children. And if you have this time, offer to watch their kids. Or if you have a pack of toilet paper that you somehow managed to get before the rush, be generous with it. Give a roll or two to someone who went to Market Basket and found empty shelves. Now is not the time to hesitate in giving away what we have. But most importantly, it's important to be generous in this community, in staying connected with this community virtually. So keep an eye out for the ways that we will be suggesting for you to jump in and serve one another in the coming weeks, in the same way that Jesus taught us to serve, which is humbly, faithfully, abundantly, and steadily in this time of crisis.
Thank you all for joining us today. Let's bow our heads and our hearts to Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us every moment of every day. You promised that you would walk alongside us and be there with us, whether times are good or they're difficult. You even know the number of hairs on our head. You know everything about us. You know our needs. You know our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be like you. I think about how you just gave all for us. And you said that we need to love one another like you loved us. Help us to love each other, especially in this time. And you said that they'd know that we are Christians by your love. Help us to be the people who share, who give, who love, who offer all to those in need. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for your love. Help us to spend this time worshiping you, going deeper with you, seeking what do you want of us here and today, just moment by moment, day by day, when we find ourselves wondering, now what do I do? Help us to turn our eyes to you, to say, what do you want, Lord? What is it you want me to do? Is there someone I need to call? Is there someone I need to just walk out the door and say good morning to? Someone who might need their dog walked. Someone who needs a child watched. Help us to share the love in creative ways. Help us to listen and know what those are. We thank you that you have loved us so well. Help us to love others well and to trust you every day. Whether we have just a couple loaves and some fish and let you multiply it, or whether we're the ones that need it and ask you for help. It's hard to ask for help, Lord, but you can help us to do that. Help us to be your body, every single part of it, using every gift we have to love you and love others. We worship you, God, and we thank you. Amen.
Thank you, Harbor. We love you. Have a great week.